Christ, our advocate with others. Normally we think of Christ as being our advocate with the Father, like it says in the Scriptures, "Listen to him who is the advocate with the Father, who is pleading your cause before him, saying, Father, behold the sufferings and death of him who did no sin, in whom thou wast well pleased. Behold the blood of thy Son which was shed, the blood of him whom thou gavest, that thyself might be glorified. Wherefore, Father, spare these my brethren that believe on my name, that they may come unto me and have everlasting life." Close quote. That is one very significant part of his advocacy. Through his atonement, we can receive forgiveness for our sins, and we do not have to suffer the pains of eternal suffering, because Christ has suffered those for us. Christ is also our advocate with others. He can intervene in our relationships with others in exactly the same way he intervenes on our behalf with the Father. Thus, in many ways, we do not have to suffer the pain, anguish, and sickness of people sinning against us, including prior generations. First, his Spirit lighteneth every man that cometh into the world. The Scripture teaches that. He gives people a sense of right and wrong, and it blesses them with guilt when they violate that knowledge. Thus, when people offend us, and we bless them in return, their guilty consciences represent Christ's advocacy of our cause. But if we return evil for evil, we become our own advocates. In other words, when we rely on the arm of flesh, we're left to fight the battle ourselves, and inevitably, we will retreat into a defensive posture and seek validation from others who agree with our position. But if we refuse to become angry and defensive, if we just smile deep within ourselves and bless those who trespass against us, the Savior is our advocate because his Spirit, working in the heart of the aggressor, provides a way for peace to result from the conflicts between people. One man shared his conversion story with me. He thought the Mormons were a non-Christian American cult, so when the missionaries came to his door, he accused them of all kinds of evil. "I really raked them over the coals," he said, "but they treated me with such courtesy, such patience and respect, that it unnerved me. I continued to aggressively put them down, but they continued to return goodness. I could feel my conscience bothering me terribly, but I rationalized and told myself that these two were exceptions to the rule. I finally slammed the door. Then I went to the window and watched these two elders walk down the path and out into the street. One of them patted the other on the shoulder as if to say, 'Don't worry about it, let's keep going.' And I remembered that the Savior had said, 'By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another.' I couldn't stand it anymore. I ran to the front door, opened it up, and yelled out, 'Come back, I'll listen.' He eventually joined the church. Christ also protects us from the sins of others. If we would repent, Christ becomes our defender against those who sin against us. He fills our life with his calming, peacemaking way. In a modern revelation, section 19, he teaches, "For behold, I, God, have suffered these things for all, that they might not suffer if they would repent. But if they would not repent, they must suffer even as I, which suffering caused myself, even God, the greatest of all, to tremble because of pain, and to bleed at every pore, and to suffer both body and spirit, and would that I might not drink the bitter cup and shrink. Nevertheless, glory be to the Father, and I partook and finished my preparations unto the children of men." Seeing others as Christ sees them. If we would repent, meaning to change our minds, to center our lives on Christ, to think and act as Christ thinks, then we will not suffer when others sin against us. If we think as Christ thinks, if we repent of our own sins and realize the tremendous gift extended to us through the atonement, we become capable of extending that same gift to others. True, deep repentance means coming to see others as Christ sees them, and being able to extend the same generosity of forgiveness and abundance that he extends to us. The sins of others cannot truly hurt us with Christ as our advocate. Years ago, I encountered a woman embittered toward her state president because of some shady business dealing she believed he had engaged in. Her husband had come to peace with the situation and had decided not to sue, but she was still torn between wanting to be loyal to her leader and seeking revenge. As she gradually became aware of and full of Christ's light on the situation, not the light shared by her circumstances or what society would have her do, she changed her mind. Literally, her whole orientation toward the problem was re-illuminated by the Spirit of Christ, and she could see the problem as the Lord saw it. She started to see that there were two legitimate sides, two well-intentioned, well-meaning people acting in good faith. What started the process of reorientation, or re-seeing, was that she repented of her own sins, of her own vindictiveness, of her desire for revenge. If she hadn't have had this repenting experience to soften her heart and open her eyes, Christ could not have become the stake president's advocate with her, nor could Christ have become her Savior, saving her from being a victim of the supposed sins of other people against her and her husband.